All right, welcome back. Man, I could listen to Queen. I just want to just tell Nathan to just crank this up. I don't need to talk right now. Coast to Coast AM. Right on, Nathan. I want to thank Chad Kalick for coming in tonight. One of the things that everybody looks at me for Egypt or lost history or ufology, and I get that, the big conspiracy stories, but all of this is tied together. When we talk about the paranormal, the supernatural, ghost entities, spirits, everything is connected. And if we tip the scales in one area, like the possibility of what Chad and Craig have done here with Sir No Face, at the atomic level, with quantum mechanics, quantum theory, multi-worlds theory, the Mandela effect, parallel worlds, everything will blow open. All of it. Think about that for a second. And that's why Sir No Face is so important today. And with that, I'm going to go to the phones. I'm going to open up the phone lines for the rest of the night. I want to hear about you, the ghost in your house, your parents. What is going on? Let's go to Brian Wildcard in Aurora, Colorado. Brian, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Mr. Church.
Hi, Brian.
I like to listen to the Rockies. I'll make this really fast. I like to listen to Rockies on the radio, and sometimes I catch your show later and everything like that. But then, like, last night, my girlfriend was like, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in spirits? And I was like, no.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm a cynical critic, you know. And, but I remember one time about 18 years ago, when I was, like, going off to college, I was reading the Bible, you know. I was studying religion. I went up to the mountains. It's a long story. You don't want to hear all the details. But when I got to where I wanted to be, I lit a little fire. And I was, like, praying, you know, talking to Jesus.
Right.
And
what happened?
I asked Jesus if I could talk to the devil.
Ooh. And?
So I was sitting there meditating. I was fasting. I had just almost died riding my bike down a hill and went on and left my bike there, whatever. So I just went to where I needed to be, and I wanted to talk to the devil.
Why would you want to do that, Brian?
Because we're all brothers.
Okay. Well, did he show up? Did you talk to him?
No, let me tell you what happened, Mr. Church.
Brian, we can't do silent. Yeah, we can't do silent.
I was meditating, yes. And then I, about 200 feet away, out of the corner of my eye, when I was meditating, I could see a fire. But when I looked at the fire, it wasn't there. But then when I went back to my place, I could see the fire. And so I felt like my angels were, like, protecting me or something, because I asked to talk to the devil. And I don't know, man. I don't have a question. That's just what happened to me. And it made a serious impact on my life. Like, I saw something, and then when I looked at it, it went away.
Very interesting, Brian. And see, that's the thing. When you have an experience like that and you know that it's real and you're alone and you're not trying to share this with anybody else, it's just your experience, and you see a fire off in the distance and you look and it's got, and it comes back just after you asked, you know, that epiphany moment in your life, and this actually happens to you, that's a life-changing event. And this is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM, Saturday night, ghost stories. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. After that, after Sir No Face, I'm in the mood. So let's see what we got here. Let's go way out east to Elaine, Fort Myers, Florida. You're up next on Coast, Elaine. How you doing?
Hi. Good morning, Jimmy.
How are you, Elaine?
I'm good. Just wanted to tell my weird experience with the Ouija boards. Back in 1969, when I was 19, and my sister was 15. We had a Ouija board, and we were sitting in our room, went sitting down on the floor, and just, I said, when am I going to die? You know, we're just stupid kids, you know. And so I said, when am I going to die? So the planchette went flying around on there, and I said to my sister, I said, are you moving this thing? And she said, no. And it moved so fast, we didn't really get what the first part of all that it said. But then kind of at the end, we got that it said 1971. And I said, okay, well, I guess I got 2 years to live till I'm 21. But obviously I didn't die, but my sister did die. My sister was 15, and she died 2 years later at the age of 17.
Wow. So
my parents got rid of the Ouija board. So.
Yeah, no question about that. You know what's really interesting to me, Elaine, is around that same era, for me, I was very young, but my mom used to Ouija with my aunt, and I would watch them growing up sitting in, they would be in the kitchen, we'd be in the living room, you know, and
wow,
and they would drink coffee all night, smoke cigarettes, and Ouija, and I would watch that planchette just, but I, knowing what I know now, I can only imagine what they were doing back then, you know, and what they were experiencing. And my mom, she passed away last year, but my mom, when I went to ask her about it a couple of years ago, would not tell me anything. Ah, we were just kids, she would tell me. But 1969 in the United States, that was the Ouija board time, wasn't it?
I guess so. I regret that I ever did it.
I know.
I wonder if it didn't cause it.
Well, probably not, but it's something that when things happen and they seem related, you know, that's part of it. That's always part of it. You don't know if there's a connection or not, but you can't have regrets. You know, you can't. You just got to move forward, right?
Yeah. She died in a car accident in my car when I was away on vacation, and my parents let her and her best friend use my car to go to a concert in Miami, and some dude hit the car broadside and killed both of them.
Yeah.
When I went home from vacation, I didn't have a car and I didn't have a sister.
Wow, so sorry.
A little girl at 17.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, I did the Ouija board thing and all this, and you know, my parents got rid of it.
Well,
and I never will do it again.
Exactly, Elaine. And that's and thank you for the phone call. I'm sorry about the accident with your sister, but I'll say this: she got rid of the Ouija board. And how many times do we have to hear that story over and over again? Something happened with the Ouija board, I threw it away. Something happened with the Ouija board, I got rid of it. Something happened. It's, yeah, probably a pretty good move. Let's go to Todd back in Naptown, Indianapolis. Todd, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Todd. How are you?
Hey, great show tonight. I enjoyed Chad's interview. I'm going to jump right into my story here. I was a teenager, about 17 years old. I think it was the summer before my senior year in high school. And I had begun to dabble with trying to do astral projection.
In Indianapolis? This was in Indy?
No, actually, it was in a small bedroom community south of Indianapolis.
Okay.
But I'd fallen asleep at night, and I'm sure as most people have woken up and in a half asleep state wanted to change their position. Well, I did that, and it was about 3 a.m, I guess, and tried to turn over and found that I couldn't. I was paralyzed, and that woke me up completely, and I continued to try to move, but I couldn't. I was just in this shell of a body. And almost immediately, I sensed this, there was a creature floating above me. Now, mind you, I could see nothing, I couldn't move, couldn't speak, you know, and I was scared to death. And this thing began to speak to me in a a different language. I could understand it. The closest thing I can describe it to was music.
Interesting.
It was saying, it was trying to get me to go with it, and it related to me that it knew I'd been trying to do astral projection, and said, you know, if you just let yourself go and come with me, I'll take you someplace wonderful, amazing. And it kept, you know, and I was frightened to death, so I was resisting it, and it kept urging me and urging me, and the more I resisted, the closer this thing came to me, to where, there was no time reference that I can explain. I have no idea how long this took, but it got closer and closer to me, to where it was literally right down on me, and I was panicking by this time, because I was afraid it was just going to take me. And now, mind you, I was not a religious person at this time. I'd gone to church when I was a little kid, I didn't know how I was going to get out of this. I kept thinking, what do I do? What do I do?
And, yeah, what happened next, Todd?
Well, finally what happened was I said, Jesus, help me. And immediately, from over my left shoulder, I became aware of a being, for lack of a better word. All I can explain was that it was an angel. And this thing said, that's enough.
And it ended right then.
Well, this thing went ballistic. I mean, it started cursing at this angel in the same language. And it was as though, it was like the sound of 1,000 oceans roaring and hurricanes. And this went on for about, what I'd say, maybe it was a minute. And then this angel said, go. And this thing went just poof and blew off. And I immediately woke up and jumped out of my bed, ran into my parents' room, you know, told them what happened. And they were just like, oh, you know, go back to bed. You're dreaming. So I did. And
that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, amazing, Todd. Thank you for that. I love stories from Indianapolis because everybody knows that's where I grew up. But interesting. Over and over again, we always hear that, you know, make your stand, call out, and things tend to fix themselves. Very interesting call. Terry McPherson, Kansas, you're up next on Coast.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
I have an interesting story. About 5 years ago, my husband and I found out that his great-grandfather was an actor who died in the theater. He was murdered. And the theater became well known as the King Opry House, the home of the ghost.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we Googled it, looked it all up, and sure enough, that was his great-grandfather. And so we drove there because we wanted to see it. And the day we got to the Opry House, it was closed. So we made a phone call and got a hold of somebody in town who said they would give us a private tour because my husband was a direct descendant of this actor.
Right. So what happened?
So we go in and she gives us a full tour and we're taking pictures the entire time. And then she asked my husband if he wanted to get up on stage. And he did. And he felt very funny. He had chills. And I took pictures of him on stage. And then I walked up there with him and took pictures of the balcony area.
Right.
It wasn't until we got home and looked at the pictures that we had a picture of my husband on stage with a silhouette of somebody else off to the side.
No way.
And then the pictures up in the balcony, I took four of them.
Yeah.
And you can see a man standing there with a long black coat on.
No.
And a derby on.
You're
and
kidding.
Nobody else in the building. And it was really cool. We just thought it was interesting.
Did it look like him? Did it look like Grandpa?
You can't really tell.
We couldn't tell.
Oh, is that your husband in the background? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that. That is amazing.
It was interesting, yeah.
So what do you think now?
I believe it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you guys so much, and Terry, for the phone call. When that happens like that, especially with film, and you go back and you look at the pictures and you know something was going on at the time. You just felt it, but then it's confirmed. That's when it's the best. Terry, thank you for that phone call. Let's come out west to Sarah right here in Santa Monica, California. Sarah, are you up next on Coast?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, Sarah. How are you?
I'm doing well. Few years ago, I was in a bind. I was confused about things, and I started to play this game where I would open up the Book of Psalms, and I would, like, whatever issue I had in my life where I sort of wanted, like, I just felt like I was asking my higher self. I would think of something, and I would open it up to see what psalm it would fall on, and I would try to see what it meant and see what kind of inspiration I could get out of it.
Right.
And at some point, eventually, it felt like every time I would, somehow it would open up to the same three psalms, and I sort of felt like one of them meant yes, one of them meant no, one of them meant you're asking the question incorrectly. And I did that for a very long time. At one point, I sort of saw something that was a light, like something that was like a neon light-ish type of thing.
Inside your house.
Inside my house. And
right.
I was like, this is weird. I'm actually seeing something. And it felt like something telepathically asked me if it could live with me or be with me or something along those lines.
And you said yes.
No, I didn't. I didn't know who it was, and I just didn't feel comfortable. But from the culture I am, we don't say no. We just don't answer. So I just got up the room and left.
Well, it's the same as saying yes, Sarah. Right.
Okay. Well, I never meant yes.
Okay.
And ever since then, my life has gone to hell.
That's what I just said. You know, it's the same thing as saying yes. So what'd you do about it?
Well, it's taken years. One of the things I've learned is it doesn't like light. I get CFLs, like actual these squiggly light, you know, electrical saving lights that are actually fluorescent.
Right.
And it has to be at least 600 lumens, and I have to have that around me so that it sort of stays away. It feels like it doesn't like that.
Right.
It actually creates pain in me. It can actually shake me. It actually shakes me.
Really?
I can get grays. I see it. It appears as different light. Sometimes it's sort of blackish smoke. It could be the color red sometimes, or purple or white.
Interesting.
And I actually feel pain. I feel like it can actually attack me. I'm sort of wondering what human beings are. I feel like maybe we're some experiment in somebody's lab.
Sure.
Where whatever it is, it can on some, like, I'm wondering if a lot of things we consider to be disease are actually something out there causing pain for us. It's not always really physical.
Right.
And I don't know how to deal with it. I haven't turned off my lights to sleep for 3 years now.
I know. I did this, Sarah. I went through the same thing. I went through the exact same thing, and I want to thank you for the phone call. We got to take a break right here, but let me just say this. I slept with the lights on for nearly 10 years and the TV, but it stopped. So I hear you with the light thing. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your phone calls all about the ghost are next. All right, welcome back. Now, if you enjoyed tonight's show, and you know how much I enjoy hosting Coast to Coast, you need to go check out my show, which is called Fade to Black. Click on my name right there on the Coast to Coast website. It'll take you to my website for Fade to Black. Everything is there. Now, this is what's really cool. It's what we do here at Coast, but it's right before Coast, and it's free. So from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, we have the same great guests that are changing the world, those authors and researchers and directors and filmmakers, and you can go straight from my show to Coast, and you get yourself a bona fide 7 hours of conspiracy, paranormal, ufology, lost history, ancient Egypt, conspiracies all night long. So just click on my name, go check out Fade to Black. Everything is free. It's all right there. Okay. Now with that, it's open lines. It's Saturday night. We're talking ghost. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast, and let's go straight back to the phones. Let's go to the international line. Brian in Vancouver, Canada. Brian, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, Jimmy, it's an absolute pleasure to finally get through, longtime listener and Coast Insider, and that I actually get to speak to you, sir, is just an honor. I have a ghost story for you, but I just have to say one thing. I heard you on Coast, and you were describing something you've seen take off from the desert in this particular show,
right?
And described it with a green hue and metallic looking type spherical whatever.
Right.
I seen this thing flying in the sky. So you just confirmed what I saw was what I saw, and I've had a few other experiences, but that's aside.
Well, actually, Brian, you are confirming what I saw. So I want to thank you for confirming it for me.
It's unbelievable, Jimmy. And anyways, that's for another show. But my ghost story, a house we lived in northern British Columbia, Canada, my wife and I, we discovered we had like some kind of a prankster ghost, if you like to say that. Nothing to do with Ouija boards in this story, but because we know, and we tested it several times, that, you know, the lights would appear on over and over and over in the basement. We turn them off, go back down, they're on, and this kind of a thing. And with your guest that you had on and discussed your pets, well, our cat, I mean, she was transfixed and staring like she could physically see it, and this blood-curdling sound I never heard the cat make in all her life was coming out of her, and I, you know, trying to get her attention, and she was just transfixed. And the story with the house culminates in my wife and I having the exact same dream at the same time, and something's trying to chase us, get us, and we're together in the dream, and we caught the thing. And that's when we both woke up, and then we're telling, like, you were in my dream, I was in your dream.
Right.
That was bizarre.
That is.
Whether it was a ghost in, you know, that made it happen, or I don't know, it was the strangest experience in my life.
And it changes you, doesn't it?
Well, it just confirmed, it's like you once said in the show, you don't need disclosure to
right.
prove what you know to be real is real. I don't need disclosure for that. I know there's many things that are real that aren't disclosed, but it would be nice if disclosure could happen, because it might change the world. Maybe that's how we get to peace somehow in this world we live in.
Exactly, Brian. And thank you for the phone call. I don't need disclosure to happen. I certainly don't. Well, not in what everybody else thinks. It's already here and it's strong. Thank you so much for that phone call, Brian. Let's go to the wild card line. William, out here in Oxnard, West Coast, you say that you've got some UFO footage.
Jimmy, how are you doing? It's a pleasure speaking to you tonight.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, William.
Recently, I moved to, I bought some property out in San Luis Obispo.
Right.
Santa Margarita. And I've had the property for about 7 months. And the only persons that are on the property are I and my little dog, Diva. And we're on 5.5 acres. And, you know, my neighbor's close to the neighbor, probably, oh, I don't know, maybe a half a mile away. So there's really nobody, you know, that goes around there. So I'm up against the hill, the mountain there, and the mountain is a bunch of caves.
Right.
But anyhow, so one night, we know every night I stay out with my bonfire and this and that. My daughter can't sleep in this and that. And I'm out there just filming, looking in the sky. So what I did is through the 6 months, I've accumulated maybe about 37 videos of UFOs. But this is unbelievable what I want to say to you. I filmed a extraterrestrial, a clone head with big eyes in my van, sitting in my passenger seat, and he saw me seeing him. So the only reason I was able to see him is because I was filming on my phone. So that's when I saw it. But every film that I do, I narrate it, and I was narrating this one. And as I was talking, I said, there's somebody in my van, and I really don't want to know who it is. And then I go back to the cameraman filming him. So I've got this extraterrestrial about 7 feet away from me on film. I mean, I'm kind of afraid for my life now, and to be honest with you, because you know how that goes. But another thing is that...
Well, what you should do... Hey, William, let me jump in. What you should do, you should tweet this to me. just pop it up on Twitter. I want to see the video footage. Okay. Because and what you're saying here is that you can only see it with the phone. In other words, the entity that you're saying is sitting in the car with you, you can only see him when it's on your phone, right? You can't see it in person.
Exactly.
Well, how do you prove that though? We need some scientific evidence. I think this is exciting stuff, but
I might be the only one to prove that there is extraterrestrials living among us. And the reason I'm calling tonight is because I've been having it for the last month. I've had this film for about 2 months, this extraterrestrial one. But I've been getting anxiety attacks that I'm afraid, you know, that I don't know. I need to let the world know.
Yeah. William, post it to
Twitter. The funny part is there's floating snakes. There's these beams of light that look like snakes that are floating through the air as I'm filming this. Okay?
Interesting.
But the funny part is said that you said something funny just now that, you know, it changes people. Well, I've sold it to, like, my sister. I actually sold it to my mother. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. And my best friend. And I got to tell you, Jim, they're not the same people.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, and we're at the end of the show, William. So what you should do, expose it to the world. Get it out on Twitter. Get the videos up there because our community, we have thousands of people that will be able to look at this and find out exactly what's going on. And that'll be the end of the story. You have it exposed to the world, William. Just right there on my Twitter page, at J Church Radio. And I'll be able to check it out myself. I am curious. Great phone call. Amazing phone call. We've got to get to the bottom of a lot of this stuff. Let's go all the way out east to Pat in Maine. Lucid Dream Incident. Pat, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. And I'm sorry about the loss of your mom and Dave. I know how that feels.
A cycle of life, but she was the best.
Yeah, I bet. The lucid dream I had and I woke up from was, it was comparable to a raid in a kind of military. Actually, it was. And the window was the doorway. The door out of my room was the back door.
Right.
And the front right corner is the side of the house. One stood in the window, which was the actual doorway. One stood at the back door, which is the actual door out of my room. And then two came up into the corner, which is the side of the house, the actual end of the house.
Right.
That floated up to the top, back and forth, then behind me, then at the shelves that are behind me, too. And they took everything, all of it. And the only thing left, which the table was actually the end of the house, which is a bare wall, you know, no windows.
Right.
And all I saw was this copper chain type thing. Well, it ended up being, and I don't want to go into details about the incident that actually happened because it's complicated about who and what they were doing, but the chain was a cross that my dear friend gave me, and she died very young, only 37, of a tumor that was misdiagnosed from a car accident. That was all they left.
Wow.
And it just bothered me the whole next 2-3 days.
Sure.
And I finally looked on the shelf and there it was.
There it was. And yep. So when it comes to lucid dreams, Pat, let me ask you, when you hear somebody else try to discredit or say that they're not real, it doesn't. And how do you answer them now?
The only way I can explain it is to find out if anyone else had a similar one, because my mom and I used to have same dreams.
Right, right. I think they're fantastic. And I have the ability, Pat, I don't know if you do, but I have the ability to, and especially if I'm having a fantastic dream, if I wake up in the middle of the night and have to go to the bathroom, maybe get something to drink, right? I have the ability to go back to sleep exactly where my dream left off.
Yeah.
I remember it all, and I can continue in its full panchromatic, cinematic resonance and all those other highly ambient domains, and I can stay right there. Hey, Pat. Yeah.
My uncle and my aunt both died 2 months, and my uncle was my aunt's hero, and he was 44 years in the military, and I can't imagine what he must have seen.
Yeah, I can only imagine, right?
Yeah, and she appeared, and they kind of forgot to tell me, and I got to talk to her on the way home from the funeral. And that was the last time I ever got to talk to her, and my family forgot to tell me. Somehow I got missed. And that weekend, she showed up, and the only reason I know it was her, because I jumped up from it. I was trying to take a nap during the day. And
there she was.
Yeah, she gave me the clue of what my mother's aunt, sisters all knew. And then I find out the next day that was when she died.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat.
You know, when you don't know what it is.
No, you don't, but who cares?
The only ones I trust in my...
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Pat, thank you for the phone call, and have a great rest of your morning and evening. Thank you so much.
You too. You also. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. What a great phone call. Let's see. How about, I'm just going to do this just because. I'm going to go out west to Derek in Covina, because I love West Covina. He's got a poltergeist in San Dimas. Derek, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jim. Jimmy, it's nice to speak to you.
It's good to speak to you, Derek.
Thank you, thank you. So I'm just going to share my poltergeist experience. I'm a little nervous, and maybe you'll help me figure it out. But in 2012, I don't know if it's related or not, but I was reading a book called Psychic Telemetry. I don't remember who wrote it, but there's a particular chapter on genies or something, chapter 13 or something. But on November 12th, 2012, in San Dimas, I was hearing sounds that night, and I remember that night because it was my ex-girlfriend's birthday, too, and we had just got off the phone, and I was ignoring these sounds, and then around 5 a.m., I heard that sound of shattering glass as if someone was breaking into my living room, and at that point, and these sounds that I was hearing previously was like running on the ceiling, it was creepy stuff, but when I heard the shattering of the glass, it was time to man up. I said, okay, Derek, it's time to face your fears. So I run out there, and my mom is standing there. And at the same time, we say, was that you? And right then, all the doors are slamming at the same time, faster than you can recreate. The doorknobs are not turning. And you can feel the wind from the doors. The lights are flickering. And all the hair still in my body, Jimmy. I shrank as a man, and we screamed out to Jesus. And I saw a diagonal mist, a green and bluish mist go diagonal from the bathroom hallway into my room. And Jimmy, for the next 7 months that we lived there, I'm telling you, I didn't stay the night. I would play Ghostbusters theme. I didn't know how to cope, but...
Did it end?
And I threw away that book. I had to get rid of that book, Psychic Telemetry. And I mean, after that, I was just afraid of staying there. But I became very angry when it happened because you couldn't explain it to anybody. I was shaking, and my mom kept telling me, it's going to feed off that energy. You know, you need to calm down. And I remember for days I was angry and upset because who's going to believe me? I saw the invisible man. Like, I saw the doors. And it's funny because I wanted to stop it physically, Jimmy. I wanted to run up and stop the door, but I felt like this thing was really going to hurt me. I thought about this, and it was crazy.
Well, how old were you when this happened?
I was about 24 years old, sir.
Yeah, you're about 24, and this was 2012, so you're 28 years old now. It's been 4 years since. Have you seen it again, or is it just over? And what did you do to stop it?
Well, we prayed to Christ to stop it, and that's when it stopped. She was praying in her language. My mom's from another country. She was praying in her language, and I was praying in English, and it stopped. I saw the mist diagonally. And you know, a lot of my buddies are like, well, you must have saw a gray or something. No. I don't know what it was, but it was like a fog. And nothing really happened after that because I tried to avoid that house and I moved away.
Right.
But that date seems to have some type of synchronicity with other dates, other major events. Like I said, it was my ex-girlfriend's birthday that day. That day ended up being someone else's birthday who actually recently passed away. And, you know, it's some creepy, I don't know.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And what about your family, though? Did anybody else see this happen besides yourself?
Yes, my mother was with me. And my mother, like I said, she was in the living room when I ran out there, when I heard the glass shatter, when I thought someone was breaking into my living room.
Right.
She was already out there, and we both said, "Was that you?" And, you know, it's almost comical. And we just stared at each other. And I said, that's when the whole house just lit up. The lights, the door slamming, the doorknobs were not even turning. And they were closing shut and opening all the way.
Right.
Very fast, full speed. Like if you were fast forwarding a video. And I was just shocked. And my first reaction is like, I'm gonna go run up there and stop the door. But no, I knew that this was gonna hurt me. And we immediately just started praying to Jesus.
Well, there you go, Derek. Derek, I have to say one of the great phone calls that I've taken here on Coast to Coast. Thank you so much for that. And it's always about going positive and standing up for yourself, no matter what. That seems to be what it takes when something like that goes down. And that will conclude another Saturday night right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Now, before I get out of here, got to thank the one and only Nathan. How about Donna? How about Chris, Lisa, Stephanie, Greg, Lex, George, and Tommy? I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. I'll be back in a couple of weeks, but until then, go Beckley Tappy.